Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade. I am JL Covan, here as always with Producer Mike. Hello, Producer Mike.
Hi, JL. Hi, everybody. How you doing? It's good to see you. How you feeling, JL? Fresh off of your debut.
Yeah.
On Broadway.
Yeah, Rise and, well, Ninth Avenue, really, but Rise and Grind.
Yeah.
we're here the earliest we've ever recorded.
Yeah, I love it.
Good. I'm glad. And I was happy to see I got here early and you were already here. So you're rising and grinding even more.
I was here early working on iHeart promos that, good Lord, do I hate doing.
Nice.
The peek behind the curtain, everybody, to make your these podcasts for you to listen or, in this case, not listen to.
Thank you. Respect my fan base, please, and their lack of consumption of my content.
It's a lot of work for us to cut together promos for people to hear on the radio and for people to hear on other podcasts. There's producer's job is never done.
And as you see, it's October. We're been in October and it's another new shirt. It's
underneath an old shirt.
Yeah. But it counts. We've decided, I'm stretching the rules, but it is within the rules. Because hockey season begins this week. So my first game under my quarter season package is Saturday night against the Utah Hockey Club, the worst named team in all of professional sports.
Yeah, it is pretty bad.
But I love that they named it temporarily that and are selling merch. And yeah, then next year they're going to announce their like official long term name.
That
should be illegal.
The now Commanders did that as well. They went from Redskins, dead name, no offense, everybody.
The Washington football team?
They were the Washington football. I think they should have just kept it WTF, or WFT, the Washington football team. Because it's like, I think what they say
why
is...
Why not WTF, Washington team of football?
Or that, too. Yeah, both of them work. But I think they say now that it's like, it's kind of what soccer clubs do. Where they just like, they're the Manchester football team.
Right. No, I remember when my nephew's like, seventh grade team was like the Montclair football club. And I was like, okay, settle down.
Yeah.
Hockey begins this week. So, I'm sorry. And we've already lost a lot of people. Hopefully they know from the title of this episode, it's not sports.
Yes. Hang with us.
In fact, it'll be lots of politics. So it's not even the Venn diagram of things JL likes to talk about, things his audience likes. And if you use a microscope, you can find the one intersection, which is politics. So we're getting to that. But I did a 3-show run of Dictator for a Day, which was a Trump-themed musical. I didn't do singing. I was the monologist. But rave reviews for your boy, JL Covan, everybody. My favorite was, I'm going to tell them what the theater critic said.
Okay.
During our dress rehearsal, the day before we went live on Friday, some theater critic who's been doing, and I forget his name, I'm not being dismissive, but came as a favor. The director of my show knew somebody who knew him, and he came as a favor to check out the dress rehearsal before going to see real plays that night. And what the guy said about me, and I quote, in 6 decades of reviewing theater, I've never seen someone merge so completely with a character as you just did. And I'm dead serious. And he never cracked a smile. He was like, he was looking at me like, I kept joking after that like, coming soon, I have seen the future of theater and it is JL Covan. But it was
a Springsteen moment.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the producers club out there. Yeah, I was doing a show with Trump. So that felt very good. And you know what that felt like? That was validation. Mm-hmm. Even because it was just somebody seeing, it wasn't just the impression. It was what I was doing with the impression. And that felt really good. And so we had 3 shows and I crushed them all. Mike was kind enough to come with Ronnie.
Yes.
Who is, I think, out celebrating October 7th today.
No, get out.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know. I think it's called Freedom Day in Brooklyn. To the rest of us, it was a massacre, but in Williamsburg. No. They're celebrating Freedom Day.
Nobody
today.
Is happy that people got kidnapped and taken hostage. Nobody.
Guys, that was dark humor. That's
very
all.
Dark.
Very dark.
Ronnie loved it. I loved it. We thought you were excellent. You know, we thought there were some, you know, weird little things in there that, sure. that, you know, but we thought you care, you know, were really, really good, dude. And you should be proud of the work that you did. Obviously it was a long time coming and I'm glad that you're getting your flowers from people like in the theater world that aren't familiar with you
because right.
you deserve it. You did great.
Well, thank you. And speaking of flowers, everyone in the cast and crew did eventually receive flowers from loved ones and friends, except me.
You know,
I shamed Laura when she came Saturday.
It is Laura's job for sure. Yeah. I did think about it and then I forgot. And then no, I saw.
If I'm going to be the face and the future of theater, it's time for new traditions. Mm-hmm. Cookies. If you come see me dominate on stage, you bring me fresh baked cookies.
Dominate on stage.
Yes.
That's how artists like to think of art.
Yeah.
Wow, he dominated that play.
I can't shed the character yet, Mike. Like, that's the approach you got to take when you're Trump, when you're getting inside the
of
man.
Of course, yeah.
But it was a lot of fun, and I have to say, and next week, my co-star Rory will be a guest on the show, and we're going to give you, and I apologize, we'll try to slip in some political things. But it's going to be a very fun behind the scenes oral history of Dictator for a day. And that'll be a very fun episode. I'm glad he can do it. But I will say this. This process was like 4 weeks. Unfortunately, the day job project I was on was wrapping up because I would have had to quit it. And I don't like to do that because you want to stay in good graces with agencies. Mm-hmm. So fortunately, it finished up on like day three of the Dictator for a day rehearsal, getting to know. But this was in just under a month, we got a first draft of a script, which was 55 pages. Just to put that in perspective, the final was like 28.
Yeah.
That's how much material we started with.
Yeah.
And I have to say, this is as much as, it was a small theater. And even though we had good crowds for all three shows, my fans are obviously, it's no surprise to my fans. They weren't there, mm-hmm. but I had, eight people. I had four fans and four. No, I'm sorry. Four fans. One, two, three, four fans. One, two, three, four fans and three people I know personally. That I wouldn't call, that I know from my personal life, including you. You're included. Mm-hmm. So over three shows, making my off-Broadway debut, or as one might say, off-Broadway debut, seven people. So thank you so much, everybody. And by thank you, I'm talking to, I think, the two listeners who were there and everybody else. You missed a great show. But hopefully we get another run so strangers can come see me do this because you won't.
Maybe they'll listen to the podcast.
Maybe that was still my favorite part of the Jersey show, that everyone who was at the Jersey Trump show that I did, none of the one person, and he didn't raise his hand, but I know only one person actually listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
Which meant no podcast listeners came and no one who came listens to the podcast, even though it feels like kind
there
of
there should
like
be some
perfect,
intersection. Yes.
Like a deep intersection.
Yeah.
People who like my Trump impression. People who listen to my Trump podcast, never the twain shall meet. But this was a very proud thing for me. And for about a month, it felt like I was doing what I want to do. And I don't mean necessarily theater, though I'd be open, to anything that lets me, do my thing.
Would you act?
Yeah.
Like in a play as just like playing.
If I could get a role, sure.
Anthony or, something.
Well, I will say
not doing kind of like hair jail. You rewrite this stuff. Well,
no, and that's what made it a little easier. But if you consider only having less than a month to memorize like eight monologues, it helped that I could. But obviously, I don't want to say a real play, but a bigger production, a more substantial production. You don't get 3 weeks to prep.
Yeah,
you get 3 months.
Yeah.
You get maybe more.
Yeah, you're running that a lot.
Yeah. So I would be happy to. Because it was nice to be doing something and working hard at something that I felt like I wanted to work hard at instead of I'm working because I need the money and that's that. And I'm sure that happens with actors all the time. Like you do work, you want to work, you do commercials, you do a project, you take a road gig, or you do a fucking a kid's party, some anything, because you got to keep your free time to keep the dream alive. And so you do other things that maybe aren't your dream, but it keeps you in that field, and that's how you make your money. But this just felt, it felt really good. I was very happy with my work, and it was a fun experience. And I have to say, everybody else on the show was like not the novice that I was. Like Rory does a lot of stuff. The dancers do a lot of shows, and at least one of them is sort of also an actor singer. Like she's auditioned for a lot of big things.
Yeah.
And the director has, you know, been working in theater in various capacities for many, many years. So for me, I felt more at stake for me personally, because like my impression is kind of a centerpiece
yep.
of it. So I felt like the more people that see this, the better it is for me personally. Obviously, it's good for everybody, but it, like I have the most to gain the more people that see this. But it was also just, you're in this kind of like fun, intense building, like quick friendships. And then I was the only one who was like, oh, it's over. Whereas everybody is like kind of in this mercenary lifestyle
yeah,
where it's like,
on.
Hey, great, great working with you. Gotta make a new best friend for 3 weeks now.
Right.
Like, and I'm like, oh, but it was so fun. What the hell?
Yeah.
It's over. So that doubly kind of hurt.
Dude, theater's fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun to just like get into something like that and then put on a show. Like you can see why people like to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
not just actors who are struggling to get movie parts.
Right.
It's right. also fun.
Yes.
So that was Dictator for a Day. They want to post it for like rental and sale on some like streaming services, or whether it's not, you know, like pay-per-view kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm crossing my fingers that maybe we can do some more live shows of this if they can book a theater space, you know, before or right after the election. But yeah, it was fun, and thank you to the folks who did show up, whether they be new listeners or the couple of listeners who did make it. I do appreciate it, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed doing it, and as much as that theater critic was, let's just say it, in awe of yes. what I did.
Yeah.
So. My fans, meh, but theater critics, amazing.
Yeah.
So hopefully that theater critic knows how to use podcasts and listens to this. So just a few things to tell you about. You can have this. Oh, by the way, guys, this is, you know, a lot of people skip ads in podcasts, but I feel like my fans skip my own promotion. So if you just hit that fast forward button if you hate hearing about things I do. But this Friday at the Triad Theater in New York City, Making Podcasts Great Again, we've got, it's me and Jay, but it's also Jordan Carlos will be guest starring as Obama, and Dan Wilber will be guest starring as J.D. Vance. So I know fans of the show loved it, but this is going to be an excellent show. So there are plenty of tickets still left. So please go get those tickets. Tell your friend, bring a friend. But it's going to be a very fun show. And it's much cheaper than the theater tickets, if that's why you didn't go to the theater show. And then after that, next week, Pittsburgh and Chicago. I don't know what ticket sales are in Pittsburgh, but I have two shows. I have a Trump show and I have a stand-up headlining show, and Pittsburgh is straight stand-up. I know ticket sales haven't been great for that. So if you are in Pittsburgh, if you have friends in Pittsburgh, please spread the word. Want to sell tickets to both of those. And then Emporia, Virginia, that show is like over half sold out now. So to my Southern Virginia or Northern North Carolina fans, hopefully the North Carolina fans are doing okay. Yeah. And that's it for this month. Obviously I got the Patreon, check out the YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So those are the promotions. The topic, just to keep it in your wheelhouse, fans, will be politically themed. We talked about the end of America last week, and it did very well. The numbers have been strong.
Yeah.
And a lot of good comments. So appreciate that. Thank you. And remember, I'll make the announcement now instead of Mike having to do it at the end when you all stop listening. and I don't mean that as a slight to you. I mean, they're just like, oh, okay, I guess we were winding down. Nothing else to hear here. One day I'm just going to read out like winning lottery numbers in the last like 15 seconds of the show.
Yeah.
Like, wow, nobody listened. Nobody won the lottery. But yeah, if you're on Spotify or Apple, you know, leave a 5-star review, please. We got, I think, one or two new reviews on Apple. And, if you're a listener, go, you know, make sure you do what a lot of people are doing, which is watch and or comment, use it as like our message board almost for that episode on YouTube and vice versa. So thank you. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk 2028. We talked about the end of America last week. I'm going to talk about the future of America, if there is one, next. And we're back. Mike, how was that break?
Short, but sweet.
Good. That's how we like to keep it. I'm looking for what Ranger jersey do you think Laura should get, and what Ranger jersey should I get?
Well, if available, you should get Capo Caco, for sure.
That's a power play goal by Capo Caco.
He's retiring.
I know.
Oh, it's so sad.
The JL jinx. Ugh. As soon as I'm like, I'm all in on the Rangers, yeah. He's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Sam Rosen.
Laura, who else on the Rangers could Laura?
See, here, I'm going to tell you right now. You know what she? I want to see if you can guess. But yeah. What she's telling me is Keandre Miller, obviously one of the taller players. Yep. He is. I think he's biracial, but he's Obama biracial. He's not Rashida Jones, JL biracial.
Correct. He's darker.
Model girlfriend. He's living it up. He's
oh yeah. Yeah.
But
badass too.
He's 79, number 79. I said to my mom, I said, that's not like the coolest number. And she goes, when were you born? I go, whoa.
Yeah.
So wow. It kind of fits. But I don't think he's inked. I was waiting to see these guys. You know, I want to get somebody who's like re-signed.
Committed.
I don't want somebody in a contract year, like in case
right.
they bounce. But I became very big on Chris Kreider
of
last
course.
Year. But I think Laura secretly wants to get a Chris Kreider goal. Her favorite moment last year. Sorry, sports. We're getting to politics in a second.
Yeah.
Her favorite moment, which was very good. He scored his 300th career goal.
Uh-huh.
And they took it back on a penalty. So he had the puck. And then the scoreboard was like no goal. And he just went.
He threw the puck away?
He just tossed it on the ice, like back on the ice. Because that wasn't the 300th goal anymore.
Yeah. I'm a Trouba guy. He's a big time hitter. Which I think is cool.
Rangers Twitter is not that big into Trouba.
Really?
Like
they don't like Trouba?
I mean, I know he's the captain, but they're kind of, like a lot of what I saw last year was just like he's a little bit too dirty.
He's a little dirty.
And not like producing.
Yeah, but they like that, don't they? Wasn't Sean Avery like a dirty kind of like
I think he was a little more star power than him. But but I think Laura is leaning Kreider. So that's off the table, though. That's not who I want you to guess.
Okay.
So I think she's trying to push me to Keandre Miller so that we don't show up like two goobers wearing the same player. Yeah. Are you family? No, we're just stupid.
NYPD.
SDNY. NYPD. Somebody's going to gif that.
Yeah.
Okay, just I'll give you two guesses and then we'll move on from hockey.
Oh boy, I'm trying to think who else is even on this team. I mean, she's not gonna go Zibanejad, is she?
Mika Zibanejad.
That's
exactly
who she wants? Really?
He's been soft, but I think she's always like he has this like gentle, like poor man's Jake Gyllenhaal look.
A little. He's a little dirtier looking.
With
though.
The flowing hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was always and he skates smooth. Yeah. He's very Euro like
that. Oh yeah. Love him.
So, but I think she heard too much negative about him. Like, in other words, why isn't he producing? Why isn't he like, so I think she wants Zibanejad, but she's, you know, chicks like winners, man. And Kreider showed up a lot more in the playoffs than Mika.
Yeah.
The Mika shall not inherit the earth. That's Bible for you folks. Now let's get to politics. Speaking of Meeks inheriting the earth, what do you think is going to happen in 2024? Because today's discussion is going to be, you know, I was very pessimistic last week, but people loved it. It was just Aroldis Chapman throwing haymakers on his girlfriend. I mean, throwing 105 mile per hour pitches.
Yeah.
Did you catch that joke in there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I mean, I throw a baseball joke in. Nobody watching or listening is going to like it. That was for you.
I know. I got it. Thank you.
All right. Anyway, I thought we could have some fun with a still pessimistic, but more like a happy, fun pessimistic, like dark humor day versus just the future is bleak
kind
of day. So who do you think is going to win in 2024, Mike? If I said, here's $100, you have to bet red or black on the roulette table. There's no green. Or should I say orange or black?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because the orange man, and I don't even write his name down in comments. I say T-Rump.
Nice.
I hate those. I'm sorry, and I have some fans who do that. He's not Voldemort.
Yeah.
Just write his name. Like, my entire career in theater may depend on your answer.
If a gun to my head.
Don't look out the window, but there actually is a sniper trying to make sure you answer.
I would think Kamala, but I have a feeling it'll be close again. Very close.
Or as Jay calls her, Kamala.
Kamala. It's hard, man, because it's, have you seen the political campaign ads that are coming out now? That he, like his they them ad.
Oh no.
You didn't see this?
No.
He had, so they, you know, that the thing he said during the debate where he was like, she wants transgender inmates to get sex surgeries.
Right.
They dug up some footage of her talking to some trans person, some board of something. And I guess she said, she actually did say something along those lines, I guess. I'm sure. The proper context is not accounted for, but I guess they found some footage of her saying something in that realm, and they built this whole commercial around the fact that, like, Trump's not crazy. What he said during the debate is completely true. And then the rest of the ad is basically footage of her with like famous gay people and trans people, like drag queens and stuff. Jesus. And the tag for the political campaign of the ad is Kamala Harris for they, them, Trump for you. And that's the ad. So at this point, it's an ad that is just like blatantly just homophobic.
Yes, but you know how I feel about all those people. I was pretty articulate last week.
Yeah.
Worst generation America's ever produced. MAGA.
Yeah.
That is a great tag.
It is.
That is a great tag. Like it's leaning into, and this is the thing.
But it's a great tag.
It's the new Willie Horton. It's the new, you can't, well, they still can actually. They're just making Haitians the scary black people now. They're not making, because he wants to win over American black men.
Right.
So now you have to make foreign black men the problem. But gay and trans issues are the new, oh, we can just make them the boogeyman out in the open.
That's what I'm saying.
We don't need any veiled language or any.
So it is a great tag, but it is like overtly, it is overtly homophobic and transphobic. Right. So, I mean, I think that that's the thing. We're going to find out. So my gut is with Kamala.
Okay.
Because I do think she kicked his ass at the debate. I think that matters to a lot of people that are sort of like, all right, well, I was going to sit this one out because of Biden, but now she looks like she's she could be in charge. And I do think that matters, but we're really going to find out how much of this country is just like, yeah, fuck these gay people and these trans people. Yeah. I don't want to live in a world where there's drag queens in the white, like near the White House or reading to my kids. Like, we're going to find out about that because this is the election where it's become a major, I don't think gay marriage for so long was a conversation and then they got it. And I don't think that in the last decade, it's really been something that's come up as much in the forefront of elections. And now because there is such, visibility of trans people and their rights, I think we're going to find out now if America is like, fuck them. You know, and this is
America I've got an answer for you.
Well, sure.
America is fuck them.
Right.
And
but there's enough people. Are there enough people that are just like even apathetic to it that are just like, well, you know, Roe versus Wade and, you know.
Well, it's coming. The thing I would say is Roe v. Wade needs to be a wake up call for more than just women. Like coming the Coney Barrett, Clarence Thomas, Sam Alito squad.
Yeah.
They will come for, I think there's a trans medication case coming up, a very big trans case.
Yeah.
In this upcoming Supreme Court term. I don't think it's going to turn out. I don't think it's going to turn out well, Mike. I was saying to you before the show, interacted with post ever on Instagram, where I basically say, Trump is a threat. Like, stop equating saying Trump is a threat to democracy with the violent language that the right uses. Like, he is a threat to democracy. No one's ever been more of a threat in this country's history. And all the comments. And then we get to this point where they're saying things to me where they're like, you don't have your facts right. I'm like, he wasn't convicted of felonies. He doesn't owe Eugene Carroll $80+ million. Like, what facts am I wrong on?
Right.
And I said that the shooter in Butler was a registered Democrat, a registered Republican. And one guy yesterday said to me, oh yeah, you mean the trans person who, like, and I said, trans question mark? That's weird that I've never heard that once.
Yeah.
And he said, look up your facts. He was an LGBTQ rainbow bullshit person. And I was like, well, you, I trust.
Yeah, right.
Like, clear. Okay, I'm wrong. You're obviously somebody who doesn't have a dog in this fight. You're clearly just objectively discussing this. You're not a bigot or somebody who will believe whatever bad things are said about LGBTQ people.
Yeah.
But I do. I think there is a, and let me tell you something. I know Gavin Newsom is out there hoping this homophobia thing lasts another 4 years.
Like, wait, why?
Because he knows Pete Buttigieg is going to be his top. His top competition, and I can just wait for the Breakfast Club interviews in 3 years. Going, but how? I mean, you think world leaders going to respect us if our president, you know, is zesty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, Gavin Newsom's like, I support our LGBTQ people, starting in 2029. And he won't, but deep down there'll be somebody on his staff that gets fired in 3 years for like an internal memo, which is like, some sectors of our base are not thrilled with Pete Buttigieg's sexuality.
Yeah.
And then he'll be like, yeah, I fired him.
Yeah.
Fired him. Cause that's not what we're about in America or in my campaign. I think Kamala is going to win also, but I'm starting to get so many comments on my Instagram that it's starting to work on me. I'm like, there are really a lot of foaming at the mouth monsters.
There are, right.
Out here. Like, and they're ready. They want to vote. Like, they view Trump as their last chance to save us from the record economy.
Right.
And the things that are not bothering them at all. Like, they are living in, it reminds me of what Sauron did in the second season of the Lord of the Rings show, which, by the way, I rewatched the first season with Laura. She didn't make it to the second season. And I have to say, it was the opioids when I was having shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
That like chilled me out and made it like just
not good.
It was very mediocre and very slow developing. But but like I said, 10 milligrams of Oxy, little snack.
Yeah.
Good show. Yeah. Fun show.
Yeah.
Second season, actually, I thought picked up. And the last few episodes were legitimately like worth it. I thought, I was like, okay, I feel like I've gotten the payoff. Like, I don't regret watching it now. But Sauron does like on the guy who creates the rings. He creates this world where he thinks everything's fine. And meanwhile, there's like war going on outside his like work chamber.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what Trump has done to these people. Like, and Fox, like, he has his media enablers, but they're sort of just like, oh my God, the world is over. And like, they spread these lies so quickly that like all the money from FEMA's going to immigrants and they're abandoning North Carolina.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, every governor in the South is like, thank you, Joe Biden, for your help.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm a piece of shit Republican and I'm saying thank you.
Yeah.
And they're like, but Trump said that you took FEMA money and gave it to Haitians to rape our dogs. And I don't stand for that. That's not my America. So that's the world we live in. So I think she's going to win, but now I'm like, kind of like, good God, I think it is just going to be decided like, you know, Friday after the election. Like, and it's very sad. And Trump is going to absolutely, I think I've said this before, do a January 6 plus this time. Like, I have no doubt. Like, I wish I had doubts, but I'm like, no, because this is it. Last time it was just ego and a white guy. This time it's black lady and prison.
Right.
Like, he's going to be like, we have to fight. Get your guns. You can bring your guns to DC. I said so. I'm your Mar-a-Lago president. Like, there's no way it's not worse.
Yeah.
And that makes me think, my two hypotheticals that I wanted to discuss today. If Trump wins, what happens in 2028?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of picking
Ukraine is gone.
Yeah.
So
Russia just takes it
Gaza
all over.
Gaza and Ukraine no longer exist. So let's just start with that. Those two places.
You mean in the world what's going to happen?
World, but also I'm just being a little flippant, but also serious.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, but mostly U.S. politics, like presidential race. I want like some, because I've got some predictions.
In pain. You think presidential race after he wins? Yes,
the 2028 like election cycle.
Well, frankly, I don't know. And that's the thing. I was trying to ask you a little bit about it last week. I don't know.
Too much of a role last week.
I know. I don't know who's up next in any capacity. I would think, I guess the Democrats, you know, in 4 years, I guess it probably is Newsom or Buttigieg or maybe that woman from Michigan.
Big Rack Gretch. Oh, sorry, it's just Big Gretch.
Big Gretch.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood her nickname.
I guess those are the rising stars in the party. I don't think you can ever run AOC for president.
AOC is a long term. Maybe she wants to be Pelosi in 20 years.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Right? Yeah. She's seen the power. She's seen that it doesn't all have to be the presidency. Right. And she has really, maybe to some far left people, she has gone a little too much trying to play the game.
No, I like that.
No, because you have, like, you can stand on the sideline and win tweets, or you can like move a little bit to get things done and have them shift. But I think she's in it for the long haul. Like, she could be going for a Pelosi-esque career, which is like, oh, when I'm young, when I'm 56, I could be Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
I think the four big ones right now, I mean, Shapiro in Pennsylvania, I think his nickname, because they say Obama's a huge fan of Shapiro, and they say he really has modeled his speaking style after him, and they try to make fun of him with it. But his nickname, I read in the paper one day, Baruch Obama.
That's funny.
That is so good. But you got Josh Shapiro, Wes Moore, who'd be our most jacked president, the governor of Maryland, who I went to elementary school with. Mm. Whitmer, Newsom, Buttigieg. Buttigieg and Newsom's downside would be they would possibly like not be in any office while running. Do you know what I mean? They'd just be like, remember us? We were compelling rising stars. But I think if Harris loses, Democrats will do what they did in 2020, which is like, get me white guy from the bullpen.
Yes.
We can't take any risks with it. I need to get me straight white guy. Get me Vaughn. And I think that's Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
He's extremely tall and handsome. The man, I don't know if the man has ever said or in his life, because he's and Buttigieg is the same way. They kind of come, their brains are just like, I have the full book written in my head before I start speaking.
Yeah.
And I think it's Gavin Newsom if Harris loses, because I think there will be this like, there'll be the griping of like another white man. And it's like, no. You run in the America you have, not the America you want.
Yes.
And obviously, I think who runs for the Republicans in that case, it depends. If there's maybe Donald Trump again. Wait,
why wouldn't he?
We got to redo the Constitution. Or I had an election stolen from me in 2020, as you now see, because I won.
I don't know. I think we've seen enough at this point to say that if he gets in, he's not going. He's not going anywhere. I don't believe that he's just going to be like, well, it was a good 4 year run. And it's unbelievable how bad it is, but how bad that impression is.
We did so many things. We had an election stolen. So I think I should get a third term for the one they stole.
No, That's right, Mr. President. I think he's not going. I think that he's, I don't think that this is a, he's looking to make a dynasty of this.
Right.
So I'd say best case scenario is that he's going to give it to one of the kids, maybe. Maybe Ivanka wants to come back.
Nah, and you're talking my language right now. I'm telling you who's gonna run.
Don Jr.
Don Jr.
Yeah.
And I want, thank you for leading in to what I really want. 2028, the battle for Kim Guilfoyle's rotten pussy.
Ugh.
Yeah. And that will be awesome. But like the two men two of the men who've been with Kim Guilfoyle, I think that would make for such an awkward, uncomfortable debate.
And like, such trash television, yeah. As always.
And if it were reversed, that's the problem. See, Republicans would just be calling him Sloppy Seconds Gavin.
I know. Things in this country are going to get so gross.
Grosser than Kim Guilfoyle. Yeah, I think that's what happens. And, Don, if you thought Don Sr. was insecure, just wait till Don Jr. is going up against his better in every way.
Yeah. Well, because Don Jr. is not, I don't know. I guess he has cachet just because he has a Trump name.
He's MAGA popular.
He's a nightmare as a, he could, I don't think that that guy could ever win in any kind of.
What I'm going to tell you is I think he can win if the MAGA base holds the way they did for his dad, even if they mostly hold, because what will happen in 2028, every Republican will go, it's finally our time.
Yeah.
Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy. Every asshole, Tom Cotton, every one of these, Tim Scott will make a token appearance again. Yeah. And then Don Jr. is going to go, I'm running because... And he's going to run and be coked up. And then he's going to start with like 16%. Like he's not going to have like the debt, but it's going to be, if he can hold his own and if Pops comes out and says, I endorse my son, then I think he could get it. Like, because I think it's going to be the same. They will not learn their lesson. They will not coalesce around a normal candidate. They won't let go of the crack pipe that is MAGA. So they'll go, well, if 9 of us run, Don Jr. can get it with 19%.
Yeah.
If 3 of us run, he might not have the pull to get 40% yet. But if he gets it, now we're looking at another decade of a Trump saying like racist things, and it'll be like the Frank Sinatra Jr. It'll be the cover of the dad, and everybody's like, well, he's still a Trump. So I guess.
All right. So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Let's just say Trump does win this time around, and then we have to figure out what's going to happen with, will it be Don Jr.?
Is that Jay Nogg chanting 4 more years?
If that in that world that does happen, and now we've had 2 4-year terms of Donald Trump, and then potentially another 4-year term of, I mean, I'm laughing even just saying it, but like for another 4-year term of Don Jr., at what point has Make America Great Again failed? At what point do you go, well, we've had 16 years of Making America Great Again, and we still haven't done it?
Well, no.
Like, at what point do you just look at that and go, like that's a pretty long run of attempting to make America great again. We still haven't made it great again?
Well, Make America Great Again, Mike, it's not a place so much as a state of mind.
I get it.
And in that state of mind, as long as black people and women and immigrants feel threatened or unsafe or unhappy, you're in a great place. You're feeling like the world is right. As you inject opioids into your veins and your, dog is humping your sister in your trailer.
Yeah.
You're going, yeah, but the cops got away with killing another black yesterday. Thank you, Mr. Trump.
The way it should be.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. President. We finally got our country back.
Yeah.
I think, I see Don Jr. at least taking a stab at it. I think Ivanka can't she wants her social life back. Mm-hmm. And I don't think dad, even though dad wants to fuck her, I still think he's not gonna, you know, business and personally keeps them separated.
Yes.
Like he'll always want to fuck his daughter.
Uh-huh.
But he won't forget that she and Jared were like, but our friends don't talk to us anymore. We just want to like get back to being like having like cool friends
yeah.
and having money and like being yeah. able to hang out with them.
Right.
I don't think he'll forget that, which I think makes Don Jr. the obvious heir apparent politically. And yeah. I've been told that he is a popular surrogate within MAGA.
Uh-huh.
So like if he can just keep MAGA behind him or even a substantial amount, I don't see why he couldn't make a serious run in 2028. He will have had more political experience. So
funny. Yeah. I mean, it's so ridiculous.
He'll have more political experience and knowledge than his dad did. I mean, no useful experience, but still more familiarity with politics and
I guess
working the media and shit like that.
I guess, but I guess that's the thing. It's so bizarre because like, I think Trump is I think Trump is a one of one in the sense that like throughout all of the chaos and the things that gross me out and the things that I don't like about him, I completely understand why people fought for it.
He's not one of one. He is one of two. And I think I've told you who the other one is. Austin! Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
Not anymore.
But Vince McMahon's not running. The difference is that like Vince McMahon was happy with his level of power of just running a huge corporation.
Right. And he also knows, unlike Trump and every other shady CEO who's like, yeah, I don't need people digging into my taxes, my experiences with high-end escorts, my racist statements. I'll just keep being a billionaire fucking escorts.
Exactly.
He was like, ego, I got to be president.
Right.
And I still wish we could have gotten a McMahon-Trump debate.
But do we think McMahon is a Democrat?
No. Like for the GOP. No.
Oh.
I mean, his wife works for Trump, like was in the Trump administration. Yeah, but just say, get out here, you rapist.
Actually, we've heard stories about you, Vince.
Well, that's just not true, Donald. And as you know, I'm actually a billionaire, not a fake one, you rapist.
I actually have a lot of billion. You have 1 billion. I have many billions, okay? And a hotter daughter than you, although I, of course, would like to motorboat Stephanie. I respect the fact that you have a hot daughter as well, but you've never even called her super hot to her face. You never even grabbed her hips in a sexual way.
Well, that's because Stephanie is a businesswoman, and I respect her.
And besides, I have a bunch of whores to do that.
Well, then we can respect. I can respect that. I think we've. Would you like to be on a Unity ticket with me, Vince?
You know where you can get your Unity, Donald?
In hell!
There it is. That was all for me to do a Vince McMahon, Donald Trump mashup. But I do believe in the modern world.
Yeah.
If he were 10 years younger and politically inclined, Vince McMahon is literally, in my opinion, the only man on the planet who could like...
Agreed.
Kind of bring almost more Trump than Trump. He's stronger. He's his money, whether he's a scumbag or not. There's no question about does Vince McMahon have this money. He's built an actual entertainment empire, not like debt and like money from debt, like all these. And
Vince is liquid.
And he's got the charisma and the arrogance too. It would be awesome. But yeah. I watched
it. In a weird way, it just doesn't seem like Vince McMahon is as bad of a guy. Is that fair to say?
I think it is.
Now, listen, Donald, we've both sexually assaulted women.
But I didn't parade them around on the tabloids.
Well, that's because you're afraid of the attention, Vince. I'm not afraid of the spotlight.
So he's one of, but I agree in the modern political world, he is one of one. And, but I'm saying even a diluted Trump, Don Jr., I think might be able to, unless the Republican Party is secretly having meetings going, okay, one of you can run in 2028, right, whoever that is, because Don Jr. is going to start at 22%.
Right.
And that's where his dad started. But his dad kept winning primaries, right, because there were nine of you.
Right.
So my, that's my prediction.
Right. Jesus.
My prediction is Don Jr., Gavin Newsom, if I'm not saying that's my choice, though. I think Newsom is obviously a fine choice and a sort of an electable person. I think being so handsome will hurt him in an odd way. The same way Kamala Harris doesn't wear skirts, even though she has nice legs, because it's like, well, Fox women can do that.
Yeah.
We can't.
Right.
But that's my prediction, Newsom. I think there's talented people in the Democrats, and it could be, Wes Moore is a compelling sort of figure. But I just think Newsom would do the best. And I do think given our talk about homophobia and it's kind of a very accepted prejudice still. The way sexism is kind of accepted. Like I've often said, sexism is like a PG-13 curse word.
Yes.
Where we're like I saw it with Hillary, like people just weren't afraid to be like, she's a fucking bitch. And it was dripping with misogyny. It wasn't like you've ever met her.
Yeah.
It was like dripping with this like entitlement, like she's a fucking woman. And I'm not afraid to just dismiss her angrily because it's not because she's a woman. It's because she's a fucking bitch and I hate bitches.
Yeah.
Like it was that kind of vibe. But people are, most people are still, even racists, many of them don't like to be called racist. So that's why I consider racism like an R-rated area where many fewer people, racists will deny,
There's deniability.
Yeah, Donald Trump denies he's a racist in the strongest terms that are so funny.
Yeah.
Because he at least understands, like, I can't be racist.
Yeah.
I am racist, but I'm not racist. The least racist person you've ever met. Well, no, that's obviously not true.
Right.
You're definitely not the least racist. On a Kinsey, like. Right.
It's just so fucking funny.
Right.
You're definitely not the least racist. It's so true.
Right. Like even if you weren't racist, you definitely lean into a gray area, sir. Yeah. And I think homophobia is kind of in that space of, no, it's still fine.
Yeah.
Like it's, and I know I'm a Catholic. I know the role we've played in that. But it feels culturally okay, not just religiously. It does feel like it has a cultural approval to be like, I have friends who will still, like, if I do something that's like as a sketch character that leans anyway, like I did that sketch as Vinny buying a snowman cookie last year. And I did a joke that it was a non-gendered snowman. It was now a snow person because it didn't have genitals. So I put a cannoli on it to be its penis and then ate it.
Yeah.
The joke being like, look how manly I am.
Yeah.
And I remember a buddy of mine just sending me like bug-eyed emojis like, whoa, bro, you did that?
Yeah.
It's
pause.
Like, yeah. What?
Pause is what like they say in like the hip hop world. Oh. Where somebody does something like gay.
Oh, I thought I was being zesty.
No.
Is zesty done? I've heard zesty a lot.
No, so pause is like if you say something that's like phallic, I guess.
Okay.
Like the best way to say it. Somebody else goes, yo, pause, bro.
Oh, so I was deep throating this banana.
Yeah, yo, pause.
Oh, okay.
That's what you do.
But it was just one of those things I was like, oh, I can't. That joke made you uncomfortable. Like you do know that was a cannoli and I was playing a character.
Yeah.
I wasn't sending you a video of me sucking a dick.
Yeah.
But it is, there are various communities where it's okay. And that comment on Instagram was so out of left field. Like it's just one of those things where if you're Trump, you can get your base motivated by being like, you can just make up a story, which is like, did you know FEMA didn't go to North Carolina because they were too busy chopping off dicks
for a
swimming competition?
Yeah.
So that men could beat your daughter?
Yeah.
What? And the guy who shot Trump was one of those dickless swimmers. He was a trans killer.
Right.
And they will go, what? They won't go, what?
Yeah.
They'll go, what? Not in my country. It's insane. It's insane. But the one thing I will say is, yes, I'm sort of reasonable in that I go,
why are drag queens reading stories to kids? Like, I genuinely just go, why? And well, you're not helping. Let's be honest.
I guess, but why? I mean, who cares?
Well, because it is set, because it's, I do say, I'm going to say, trust me, I don't think this is like a political issue. I don't think it's like some cultural decay of the country, but I do sort of think, like, if I'm in first grade and some man, it has nothing to even do with it's a man dressed as a woman. A lot of times the outfits are very like sexual. That's kind of what, like, oh, very,
sometimes.
Very nice, huge fake tits while we're reading Dr. Seuss. Like, I would giggle. I'd be like,
I'm sure kids probably do, but I also don't think it's a weird thing to me because it is a very specific thing to be upset about. And it is.
Well, because it's the only way they can really combine that weird, our kids are being trafficked, which gets them all riled up.
Right.
Like all that, like trafficking kids has become the new, like I've been called a pedo on Instagram a few times because I was like, Donald Trump's a terrible president.
Right. You just call
pedo.
Right. What? You just call somebody a pedophile now.
Right. For, it's like bitch. Yeah. It's a weird, but it's a weird obsession they have.
Yeah,
and
then
it's always some right winger who it's like, he was found raping 12 kids.
Yeah.
No. But he was so dedicated to saving kids.
Right, right.
What? So I just think I'm putting myself in the average person, which we know I'm not. I'm actually the guy saving theater if you listen to that critic. But I'm putting myself in the, I know you can always play the, what's the big deal? Nobody's getting hurt. But I'm also like, but drag queen shows are, you know, the general culture is an adult environment. I'm not saying it's salacious or like R-rated or something, but I also think like it's easy to be like, that's weird at best.
But I think this is the whole issue. I think the issue is that there are people that feel like this is normal for them.
Right.
That this is, they go out in the street and they dress like women, even if they're men, even if they don't identify as women, or maybe they do. So, you know, if you're going to be upset that a drag queen is going to read to kids, you should maybe be upset that like any adult is going to read to kids. Because if you're thinking that there's some ulterior motive, then like, why is there an adult reading to kids anyway, who's not a fucking teacher?
No.
Is the teacher a drag queen? So then if that's the case, then it's like, then what's the big deal? But, is this person going to be able to live their life? Or,
but am I wrong that drag queen is like, it's a art form. It's not like I wake up in the day and I'm a drag queen.
Oh, you're a little wrong. Yeah. Drag is an art. Like there's like ballroom culture and drag culture where there is like, but I think a lot of it comes from the fact that they had for decades were forced to be in bars owned by the mafia in the West Village. Like hidden away from people.
Oh, no. And shut up, Vinny. Shut up, Vinny.
But I do think that I don't think that every drag queen, and again, I'm sort of even speaking out of pocket because it's not my culture, but I don't think every drag queen feels like they are, you know, that they either identify as a woman or that they, but I do think that there are many that are like, I'm going to go out into the street and with a full face of makeup, with a, like, this is how I want the world to see me.
Right.
So I think that's the question. Do you have a problem? Not you, but like, does the country, does the royal you have a problem with the fact that this is how these people want to be seen by the world? Is that the issue? Or is the issue?
To me, I'm trying to give voice to like my own questioning.
And yeah.
Like, obviously there's just a tremendous amount of just flat out bigotry.
Yeah.
I'm sort of saying from a trying to find a reasonable middle, which is like in my ignorance, if you want to call it, I think of drag shows as adult entertainment. I don't mean adult like porn.
But that's a drag show. That's not necessarily.
But that is like, let's be honest, like that is kind of, you know, that's kind of, I think, the common person's conception of drag as a sort of adult themed art and entertainment.
Which I agree with, but I think that is the core of the issue, isn't it? That's why these Trump commercials.
I hate to say it. It feels like you're leaving an opening to bigots to like there's this gray area that allows them to, like, I'm just talking about direct. All else, now that I'm in the room,
I don't,
on a, like, slightly reasonable topic, all you LGBTQ freaks, get out of here.
I don't disagree with you, but I think that, again, this is the core.
How about we tone it down in election years? I'm going to say it. I'm going to be blunt and transactional. Tone it down during election years.
I think this is the core of why this has become an issue again. I think when it was just gay people who just wanted the right to be married and be seen in public, like, Republicans at some point could kind of live with it.
Yeah.
They're kind of just like, well, you know, it's not in my house, but whatever. If they want to do it in the privacy of their own home, go for it.
That does belong in, like, the group of lies. Like, I don't care what color you are, black, white, purple, red, doesn't matter to me. Just live your life.
Right.
It matters to you.
Right.
Secondly, hey, I don't care if you're gangbanging a twink in your parents' living room, if it ain't.
Right.
Yes, you do.
Right.
You absolutely do.
So we went from people who couldn't be out of the closet at all publicly to a place where it's like, all right, well, as long as they're just two fucking gay guys fucking each other and they keep it out of my face
ad revenue for this episode.
And they keep it, like, in their house and not in my face. Then, like, it's fine, whatever, let them get married. But now we're in this place where there is a gay culture that I think is, you know, wants to be recognized as normal.
Right.
Because they've felt for decades that they're not only are they not accepted, but that they're freaks. And I think that there are drag queens. It's like
the drag queen read to my hypothetical kids.
He's a very funny. I don't know if Bob is a he or a she identity wise, but, like, Bob's very funny. For this, besides the point, but, like,
he had a post that I really liked I really related to it. I felt a bond because he was just like, am I ever going to meet my fans? Because I always meet people who tell me, oh, my mom is a huge fan. My brother is a huge fan. I'm like, do any of my fans want to meet me?
Yeah.
I thought that was funny because like, my boyfriend loves your stuff. I'm like, but you hate it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. But so I think this is the core of the 2024 issue. It's the reason why those Trump ads exist,
which should probably not be in the top 30 issues.
I know, right. But you have these MAGA people that I do think are afraid that, like, quote unquote, their country is slipping away. Look at all these drag queens. Look at all these whatever. And I think the people that want to be seen this way and identify this way are just like, well, I just want to walk out of the house however I want to walk out of the house. Isn't this a free country? Is this America? Or am I going to get a rock thrown at my head because I'm a man who wore a wig and makeup today, but this is, like, how I feel on the inside? That's kind of the core of the issue, I think. So again, if you're using the reading to kids as, I understand, like, optically it's weird to people who are completely lost, and
it's a little optically weird to, unless you think I'm lost. I can understand that. I'm like, that I'm just, I just, that is a point where I go, if that's your only issue where you're like, that seems weird, I don't think that's like, wow, really? Jeez. I think that seems perfectly reasonable.
But why? I guess. Why?
Because, like, I would differentiate, obviously, between, I can't have that trans woman teaching my kid. No, that isn't something I would say.
Right.
But, like, the glitz and glamour and in whatever I'm thinking of, what I usually see as sort of a hyper-sexualized caricature in terms of the costuming, I'd be like, I don't need, like, it has nothing to do with, like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you or your art or how you choose, but it's like, I just don't, like, and I know we sometimes see these stories, if I walked into my hypothetical kid's, first grade, and the teacher was dressed in, like, a low-cut, like, short dress, I'd be like, is that appropriate for school?
Yeah, but I also think...
And then she would advertise her OnlyFans and get fired and then get 80,000 subscribers, which would be the whole plan.
I think there is an assumption that somebody who's dressed in drag is naturally dressed in a risque way, and I don't think that that's completely true. I don't think Bob, the drag queen, dresses like that like all the time, even when Bob performs. I think that there's many times I've seen him... I've seen Bob wearing tasteful, just women's clothing. And
we're doing what the right wants us to do. We're doing what the right wants us to do. And now we're on one culture issue. But I'm going to say this to me, though, is the difference, because there are people who, because you're speaking of drag people the way
I think of trans people, which is like, does somebody identify as like Marie Antoinette and that's how they like go out in the world? Like, I think it's different than like, I identify as a woman that I'm going to live as a woman versus I identify as a drag cartoon that I'm going to live my life as. I just don't see those as equal identities if I can.
But I think that they are in some ways because it's if you're a drag queen.
But that feels more character than identity.
Okay, but all right, so I do.
One does feel like a choice. One, you know, if I'm being like a good lefty, one is like, this is how I feel. This has been a long time coming. This is like how I live and who I am versus I like to live like this.
But I don't think they're mutually exclusive. Maybe sometimes they are, but I don't think that they're mutually exclusive all the time. And I do think in the case, if we're talking about the specifics of reading to kids or whatever, I mean, even if you're looking at it as a character.
Or is that how far we have to bring it back to an episode, is that how far we have to do to get kids to pay attention to books now? kids, don't look at your screen. There's a 6'6" man dressed as Pamela Anderson reading to you.
I get it. But I do think that there is, you got to remember being a kid? Maybe it was different because we grew up in different timelines as children. But like when I was a kid, there was all sorts of shit that they did to try to get kids invested, like assemblies and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember any of
Dinesh
it ever being.
D'Souza spoke at a high school assembly of mine.
Really? Uh-huh. We just had all sorts of stuff where they'd bring some like theater troupe in and they would do like a half hour assembly on bullying. And it would all be like fucking, you know, people. And sometimes we'd have people that would come in and read to us and maybe they were, you know, involved in civil rights or they were involved, whatever. But it's not that strange to me to put somebody in character, and have them read to a kid. And if you're, even if you view drag as a character or a caricature beyond an identity,
right,
then I still think the core of the issue would be homophobia. Because if you're, even if it's just the acceptance of these type of people to these kids, hey, we want you to be tolerant. There's people like this in the world and they're here basically to extend an olive branch to be nice to these kids so they don't go into the world and say, fuck you, fag, you know?
Somebody clip that, please.
But I'm saying, so like you're basically putting it out there for these kids to go, like it's becoming more and more probable that you will see these people out in the street and you will see these people out in the world. And by having somebody like that come to your classroom and read and get you involved in a young age to just accept the fact that these people are there and be tolerant, I think that's an important thing. So for it to become such an issue at its core, it's impossible for me to see it as anything but intolerant. Does that make sense?
Logically? I get it. And of course, the reason it is, it's a Trojan horse for an intolerant movement.
Right.
But I'm being who I am.
I get it.
I'm not going to sit here and just be like, if it started and stopped with questions and concerns about drag performers reading to small kids, I could see, I would not view that as in and of itself some sort of bigotry. But I do also recognize that it is clearly part of a tainting of an entire culture to just, we got sex trafficking, but they're reading to your kids dressed right. With it. Like it's all chaos and it's all just wrong. I get that that's what they're doing with it. But now my other question, and then we'll get to comedy talk.
Yeah.
I got to see some movies today.
Good.
It's a day of relaxation for me.
I'm running out of tape anyway.
Perfect. How much time?
16 minutes.
Holy shit. Well, I didn't expect this to become the drag episode. neither did I, JL. Unsubscribing. What happens if Kamala Harris wins in 2024? Other than riots and death in the month of January 2025.
You know, the ocean is swimmable again. The pollution clears up. The ozone hole is, the ozone layer is fixed. The economy is riding high. No, I don't know. I mean, I do think either way we are going to have, I think if Trump wins, we will not have violence this in November.
If Trump wins, of course not.
I think if Kamala wins, we will have some sort of
like, you know, touchdown dance murders. Like, yes, we did it. Let's just go kill a random immigrant right. to celebrate, but right. not like mass violence. Just yeah. a few run up the score right. kind of
if,
violence.
If Kamala wins, all bets are off as far as I'm concerned. I think we're going to have a rocky run to her in inauguration regardless if she happens to win. And then when she's in, I don't know. I mean, there's I would think.
Who runs in 2028 for the Republicans?
Against Kamala?
Yes.
Dude, I don't know. I don't.
You think it could be Donald?
If the Trump thing is over, it might be. It might be. Why wouldn't it be? Who else do they have? If this is, because I don't think we'll ever be rid of the Trump thing.
Said he won't run again.
Dude. I don't know.
I take him at his word, Mike.
right.
He said he's not running again. This is it.
I personally don't think whatever happens to him, if he loses the election, I don't think he's going to jail regardless. I don't think that's going to happen.
But what if he gets convicted in like other case? You think none of the judges will put him in jail?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to jail. I don't think there's any way. But that's what I'm saying.
You know what the Republicans will secretly want? Him to go to jail,
yeah,
and they'll be out there going, "This is an outrage!"
Yeah.
Yes,
yes, yeah, right,
yes,
right.
How dare they riot, right. people? Riot? Yes, Trump's done. Yes.
Well, because we're already seeing with Vance that it seems like the people that studied at the altar of Trump in the world of politics don't have the juice.
Oh, so no, it's like I'm sorry, thank you for bringing up Vance. Don Jr. could be on a. Like if Vance is vice president, he's like a presumptive favorite, but I could see him. I don't think he would be vice president to Don Jr.
No way.
But I could see Vance, if he's got the blessing of Don Jr. because that's his friend.
Yeah.
He could put Trump Jr. on the ticket with him. Because that's a real defiant MAGA move. Like, they said we needed diversity. How about two bearded white guys?
Right.
You know, stick it to the man. Like, we're doubling down on white MAGA again. Like, so that's, thank you, Maria. I forgot, you know, Vance has become very forgettable. But yes, Vance would have to have at least a solid path. Like, that is actually what might keep most people out, is that they'd be like, well, Vance, we agree that Vance is the front runner because maybe he adds Don Jr. to have a Trump on the ticket again.
But even that, I don't know. Does that play to the country? This is the thing.
It's not trying to post Trump. You're trying to get the nomination.
I know, but I'm just, this is why it's so tricky for me seeing the Republicans. If there is like a Trump, I can see a Trump dynasty sort of thing, because I think that at this point he's just the guy. And if once he were to leave this earth or become president and then actually give the power up,
hold your tongue, Mike.
No, I mean that naturally, of natural causes, 10 years from now, whatever.
How dare you? He'll be a young, vibrant 88.
I do think, I understand the Trump name recognition cachet for, you know, however many more years. I don't know, like, the Mike Pence's of the world, like, I don't even know that they have juice within the Republican Party.
They don't.
This last generation of kind of like Bushes and people like that, I don't think that they have any of those. And I think a lot of the country would probably want somebody like that again to run for. I think that there's a lot of people in this country that would like to have two choices and not feel like they're going to vote for the worst person in the world by voting for Trump. You know, they don't want to be backed into a corner, but you know, without John Kasich or even a book, like these people that kind of appear to be a little more moderate,
yeah,
and just want to cut your taxes, you know?
Yeah. The Republican Party has to die and be reborn at some point.
Yeah.
But I think 2028, if it's Kamala Harris going for reelection, I think you're looking at Vance, Trump Jr. potentially, you know, and it wouldn't be. he is friends with Vance, and maybe he's not the pure uncut scum that his dad is. So maybe that would be enough for him to be like, well, he's my friend. I'm not going to backstab him.
Yeah.
But maybe if he wants to prove to his dad that he's a killer, he does.
Yeah.
And then I think we just have to leave open the possibility of, like, I don't know. I just don't see, like, there's no one on the horizon where I could be like, I was about to say like Mark Cuban, but there's no way Mark Cuban,
he's
an independent.
Yeah.
And he has locked in with Kamala. Like, he's endorsed her.
He hates Trump.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying if he were Republican, he could be like, I'm going to run as like the sensible celebrity billionaire, but he's not a Republican. So I think it just has to, the problem is if they win any of these elections, it keeps going. Like, it keeps, whereas if Trump loses again, you get violence. Reset. And then maybe they decide, okay, you've lost us a bunch of elections in a row. It's over.
Right.
Go away. Maybe. I would love to see him run as a 3-time popular vote loser in 2028.
As an 80-something, yeah.
I'd love to see that. That would
be fucking crazy.
The deuce. okay. Well, that's our politics Vince McMahon drag talk. Yeah. So one more quick break and we have some comedy talk. Bye. Why did I say bye? And we're back. How was that break, Mike?
Great.
Cool.
As always.
Yeah. Well, I know how much you look forward to a comedy talk. The Punchdown of the Week is a real classic. Like, this is a classic definitional Punchdown of the Week. New York Times PitchBot, very, very funny account on Twitter, posted a picture of Trump at the podium with Elon Musk jumping behind him and said, name this hip hop duo. So I was going to go with a few different puns, A Tribe Called Q, Rape DMC. But I said, let's go for an original name. And I said, two words, ass burgers.
Mm.
You get like kind of a nothing burgers. You're making a pun on Elon being on the spectrum. You're putting ass in there to indicate negativity. So very simple. Brevity is the soul of wit, but apparently not according to my follower, who followed that up with ass burgers with cheese.
It's a good tag.
Just for anybody who missed that, ass burgers with cheese. Wow. Good one. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. That was perfect, because that's what the joke was missing, a reference to cheese, like cheesy, I guess. Because when I think of Trump and Elon Musk, I don't think of morons or dangerous people. I think of cheese. I watched two specials. One I was just going to stay with, but then I realized I may have already seen it. Didn't review it, but it was 5 years old.
Yeah.
But I went on a little insomnia Colin Quinn run on YouTube this morning on my smart TV. So the first one I watched was Red State, Blue State, which was his. I didn't even realize. I couldn't figure out, honestly, how old it was, because it felt largely still relevant. But it's a 2019 show. And he does, like you said before we started recording, Colin Quinn has kind of fallen into a groove with his sort of.
Yeah, they're good.
His like
shows.
His kind of they're one man showy, but they don't, you know, he still has the comedian's need for incessant punchlines, which is why it doesn't feel as one man show. He's not, because he's discussing other things. It's not like, let me tell you about my childhood. It's more like, here's stand up focused on one premise.
But he also doesn't come out and like work the crowd like a club comic.
Right.
He doesn't come out and say like, hey, what are you guys married?
So I watched that and I recommend that highly. I think I just thought it was like 45 minutes, super tight if you haven't seen it, but I couldn't remember if I had seen it before or not. But Red State, Blue State, a great political comedy. It's the best thing I can say about it, because I think many of you know how much I hate the both sides kind of excuse. It feels like he's critiquing both sides without equating both sides. And I think that's fair. Because a lot of the lazy way is to say both sides and mean like they're both equally worthless and I hate them both, so that's why I'm not involved, because that's a lazy, wrong sort of approach. Mm-hmm. He takes like there's things to criticize on both sides, but I'd be curious what his real
political leanings are. Maybe he is a centrist, but any real centrist, I would think, would see the incredible danger of Trump over anything.
Yeah.
So then I said, well, that wasn't, if I saw that one before, it's about as timely. I said, let me watch his new one. I had some stamina from the coffee I had. So his new special is called Our Time Is Up, which he did at like a psychiatry conference. It was almost like he was brought in there as like corporate entertainment. It was like, I kind of turn him into a gruff Bobcat Goldthwait.
But a little, yeah.
That's the best I can do. I'm not Jay Moore here, who does impeccable Colin Quinn. I really liked Our Time Is Up. Now, Our Time Is Up is more stand-up. And so it has a little bit more of the, what the hell was that? What was that? Yeah, right. Whereas the one-man shows are really worked out. So even for a guy with his inclination to kind of go, he doesn't really do that during the one-man shows. So they're really worked out. Whereas this one, there were a few more like, what the hell was I talking about? Right. But, and I guess the conference didn't go for like, can we everybody sit and we'll reshoot the whole thing again? It was probably a one-take job. Mm-hmm. But he had some bits that really, even early in the morning, had me LOL. And it was very in keeping. If you liked last week's episode, but want to hear maybe in a more funny way, like a lighthearted way, I was being very darkly humorous. His is a little less dark, but it is. It's more complaints about people and technology and things like that. But I enjoyed both. So I think it'll only take you 90 minutes really to do both specials. But it's Red State, Blue State, Colin Quinn, and Our Time Is Up, Colin Quinn. And I will tell you the one bit that really made me LOL, and I wasn't expecting it, was just when he did sort of a redo of Romeo and Juliet, I believe, but he was using all modern, like, social media slang. Mm-hmm. It really made me LOL. For reals. So that's it, everybody. You got some nice recommendations. You got a real bust discussion of politics and drag, and a recommendation for a show that you probably never will be able to go to, Dictator for a Day, but I slayed as my drag queens would say. I slayed. I was serving cunt.
Yeah.
I was whatever else they say these days, those wacky drag queens. Would you agree that if a drag queen was reading to a six-year-old and said, oh my God, Timothy, you are serving cunt, would that
could you
censor that? I'm just saying, I don't know where your limits are.
No,
Mike.
Jay,
I don't know where your limits are.
That's an obvious limit.
Well, I guess now it's obvious. Now that you've said no, but I didn't know where the line was. So now we all know where the line is, everybody. We've already plugged all our stuff. Slickback Studios, you want to give them a plug?
Yeah, that's my studio, Slickback_Studios on Instagram. And if you need to rent a space to do a podcast, reach out. We're here. Affordable rates.
Reach out, everybody. And on that note, I will see you next Thursday, because we'll be serving podcast.